Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at what I consider to be consumer investment advice, simply because the markets have not been kind to companies, individuals, institutional investors, and the like all around the world, not just in South Africa. People have seen incomes dipping. People have seen, some of the investments actually being decimated in terms of value. And it would be so tempting at this point to just try and sell and recover your losses. But we're going to be talking to an expert. We have Mike Estimant, who is the chairman of NFB Private Wealth Management, just to help us understand what's actually going on and whether you should be running to sell all your stocks, bonds, shares, property, or whether you should perhaps calm down a little bit and see things through, and how you can actually steel your nerves during these very tough times. Mike, greetings to you.
Good morning, Madiwa, and to your listeners.
No. Thank you so much for perhaps joining us today. I think just a place to start, on your end, just someone who's interfacing with clients, someone who has sort of seen, the trends over the last 3 to 4 months. We've all seen the headlines, but like the actual situation in the world of, investments, what sort of trends have you, sort of seen out there? And how have actual South Africans, the individuals whose money is actually in these markets, how have they actually reacted?
Madiwa, if I may, I'm just going to pick up on something you said, and that is trends that have developed in the last 3 to 4 months. When you're investing, I think the biggest mistake people make, and it's an absolutely common human error, is that we focus on the almost here and now. And when one is investing, especially if it's retirement savings, if it's lifetime savings, if it's something where you're putting money away for kids' education or for a house eventually, is don't think in 3 month periods of time or 4 months periods of time. They don't matter. So if you look over the longer term, one of the biggest challenges we face as South Africans is inflation. So it's higher in developing markets like ours, emerging markets as we are called, compared to the overseas markets where inflation is almost zero. So we've got to watch inflation, and our job as investors and our job of the investment professionals that look after us is to make sure that we continue to be able to buy with our 2020 rands, the same bread, the same petrol, the same rental, whatever we're spending money on, the holiday car, doesn't matter, in 2030. And hopefully with a little bit of skill and a little bit of luck. Luck is always a part of investment. So the professional that says to you it's all about them, is they talking nonsense. It's about time, so be very patient. That's probably the most important thing, is understand what you're trying to achieve, have a plan, and then go for it. So a quick one, switching back then to what we're seeing happen in that short period that I think mustn't influence too much how we save. So what's happened is that the markets have been thumped, as you said, and probably advice to the listener is that don't think because something's down 10 or 20 or even 50% that it's a fantastic time to buy. Is you need professional help, and I'm not trying to garner support for my industry, but I honestly think that a great advisor is someone that's not trying to sell you something, someone that's going to listen carefully, interpret what your needs are, and then try and help you shape something which suits that, given your nature. So you might be an ultra-conservative person. My job is to sort of help and encourage you to keep enough conservatively, but also understand the ravage of inflation and how it will absolutely damage you in 20 years' time if you just put your money straight into the bank and save it in interest rates. So I think that the trends are that the markets have been thumped. We've seen our local currency get hammered. We've seen the ratings agencies change South Africa's ranking to junk status, which makes it uninvestable for quite a few funds overseas. And consequently, we have had our markets sell off even harder than most others. But, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow is a nice saying that I like to use, is that it's pretty bleak out there now, but there's no reason that we cannot see the rand, which appears to us to be a little oversold, come back reasonably. There's no reason why our market and the quality companies in South Africa can't come back from these very low prices, as they've done through many crises over the last 20, 30, and 50 years.
Mike, I'd like us, you know, sort of following on from what you're saying, to touch on, you know, one of the big things that COVID has actually done, which has sort of exposed many South Africans, I guess, lack of emergency funds. A lot of people have sort of been caught, you know, caught very unaware. You know, you're sort of living paycheck to paycheck, and you thought that life would continue as normal. But the moment that your paycheck is either cut or, you know, you lose it completely, then it becomes, you know, quite a bit of a disaster. And I think, as you know, the times like that, you're very tempted to either liquidate whatever investment you have so that you can continue living, or to perhaps dip into some of the, you know, savings that you were mentioning just now. You know, perhaps either just, you know, savings that you have in an account, or, you know, retirement funds, that sort of thing. You know, should people be, you know, doing that sort of thing? And just given how strained people are at the moment, how do you keep them from doing that?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. It has social as well as economic and practical implications. So now, if you are fortunate enough to have the savings, then and you either are compromised as a business owner or compromised as a employee of a business, where either your income is cut or is lost in its entirety, you have to make a plan, and you don't have anywhere else to go. So, you know, so to dip into investments is probably a luxury, but it's the only thing you can do, other than if you're fortunate enough to have wealthy parents, or depending on the age of the person that we're talking to, or perhaps you are a grandparent that has children that are in a fortunate position where they're not compromised and they can help out. But to the extent that we can encourage people to almost bite the bullet, almost cut the cloth, cut those luxuries, cut whatever you can to make the damage to savings as little and as insignificant as is possible, given the fact that the markets are so hurt at the moment, so share prices are down, your retirement savings value is down. But this has happened before and it will happen again, is these things do recover, but the money has to stay there in order to allow that recovery. We call it in the industry, we call it crystallizing the loss or crystallizing the profit. So a profit or a loss is only made real when you sell whatever it is underlying. So if you were lucky enough to have some Naspers shares that have done fabulously, or Apple shares overseas, and you sell them, you've then made the profit. Or if you were in something that's gone horribly wrong, like some of the property companies at present, or Steinhoff, which is a complete mess a couple of years ago, is you sell that, you crystallize that loss. So you could lose 50 or 80 or 90 or, heaven forbid, 100% of your money. So to try is the point. But socially, I think South Africa is in a very different place to the US and parts of Europe, where they are able to write checks out and bail businesses and bail salaries and help people along. We are not in that fortunate position, because we came out of a very weak place before COVID. So it's desperate. for those that can afford to cut costs and cut the cloth accordingly, that's absolutely recommended. So that's a good point you make. And but I think that the reality on the ground is that people have nowhere else to turn. It's then up to them or up to their advisors to seek the least damaged investments. So that if you had something that was more cautious, that's better than something that's aggressive.
I think one of the things that has then resulted, and we've talked about it quite extensively on this platform, is the issue of interest rates. You know, we've seen some of the biggest interest rate cuts in a long time. Interest rates are now, you know, lower than they've been in more than a quarter of a century. And just depending on who you talk to, it does sound as if, you know, Governor Lesetša Kanyago and his team may have some room to actually lower those interest rates, you know, by another 50 or so basis points. But notwithstanding that, you know, the cost of money is actually very low at the moment compared to where we were before COVID-19. So in light of these low interest rates, could you just talk to us about, the dangers? Because I'm seeing two specific dangers. One, opportunistic people getting into the market, perhaps trying to prey on more vulnerable segments of the market, scams and that sort of thing. But also at the same time, people panicking and perhaps going to their banks and getting into more debt than they would normally, you know, want to or have to get into. So could you, you know, perhaps talk to us on those two points?
So I think the scam point, Madiwa, is probably the most important bit of intelligence insight right now, is that if one goes back in South Africa's history and you look at interest rates, they typically follow a sort of a wave-like pattern. They go up. When the economy is overheating, the Reserve Bank would use interest rates to slow things down. And when the economy is in trouble and you have something as dramatic as COVID just shutting everything down, is investment rates and interest rates are a tool, a very effective tool for the central bank to use to try and to stimulate spending and borrowing by corporates and individuals to try and help the economy back onto its feet. So that's happened, and as you said, we are in a place where interest rates haven't been this low since the 1960s, and the governor has some dry powder. He could certainly drop interest rates a little more, which is a tool we have and which is absent overseas because their rates are almost at zero. So we've not been, in our lifetime, in the current South African, economically active South Africans' lifetimes, we've not really seen this. The trick is that in the previous cycles, you had things like Masterbond appear many, many years ago. You then had ShareMax appear. You have funny property deals where they offer you double-digit returns. Well, if you can only get 4% or 3% in the bank, there's no way that a property company should be paying you 12% because it could borrow that money much less expensively from the bank if they were kosher. And if they were good, and if they stood up and the bank accepted their terms. So the point of making consumers and investors super careful is a brilliant point. Be very cautious, ask lots of questions, seek professional advice, and I think that you'll be protected. So what happens there, Madiwa, is that people have maybe 4 years or 5 years ago, they put money away at a really nice 8 or 9% interest rate, and they're used to getting that coming in monthly. And suddenly, when the bank phone you and say your fixed deposit's maturing, and they offer you half the rate, you're in trouble. And people don't necessarily go and ask for advice; they simply knee jerk. They look in the Sunday papers, or they hear from some friend of theirs that there's something going on. And that's the beginning of the end. That's very, very dangerous. The other question that you asked was about debt. And debt, I guess, in most instances, if it's for anything that's luxurious, if it's for a new vehicle, because your car's giving you a little bit of a hard time, or if it's for that home improvement that you promised the family and you feel duty bound, or the holiday once we're allowed to jump in our cars and drive somewhere, is just take it easy. Rather stall it and share the honest truth with the people that you need to, and defer that if you can at all. Even though interest rates look low, clearly they follow that cycle I spoke about just now. And once the Reserve Bank sees things normalizing and starts pushing interest rates up from these ridiculously low levels, it's going to come and bite. So to the extent it is a time where South Africans need to be cautious, it is a time which is almost unprecedented in terms of the extraordinary nature of the stress that we're under. And we're also in a lockdown, which is emotionally draining on many people. So I feel for them, but I'd rather that they get online and talk to their family and their friends and their advisors than knee-jerk into doing something silly.
Before we end off, Mike, I wanted to get your thoughts on something, because when we talk about saving and investment and, you know, these types of conversations, sometimes you sort of get the sense that it's the reserve of, you know, certain segments of the population, those that can quote unquote, afford to actually save or invest. But COVID-19, like we said at the start, has exposed the actual need to just have this, that it's more of a necessity than anything else. On a broader level, what do the collective savings of, you know, South Africans actually mean, for the economy, and what sort of, you know, indicators have you guys sort of been watching over the last few months that sort of give you guys sort of like a pulse check on what those levels are at?
Madiwa, that's a great question. In fact, it's multifaceted. Quickly, I'll try and sum up, is that firstly, with interest rates being at these low levels, it's almost a disincentive to put money in the bank. But the investor must remember that although it's not beating inflation, it's not growing, it still is money saved. Cash, and so the second quick point that I'd like to make is that if I can encourage your listeners to ask their bank what they're earning. So we call it lazy deposits. The big banks that have current accounts and transmission accounts and savings accounts have the investors' monies lying lazily in those places, earning little if not nothing. So given that rates have been hammered and people's incomes have been compromised, it is absolutely worth going to the teller at the bank or your banker, if you have the luxury of having one of those, and asking them how you can do better. So, you know, every percent counts, and compound interest is remarkable over time. So the first point is, I'd say, just check what you've got in your current account, in a savings account, in a transmission account, because the banks are there to make money, and they're going to take our money as inexpensively as they can from us, and they're going to lend it to borrowers at the highest possible rate that they could possibly get. So let's ask for that rate. Let's put them under pressure. Let's compare one bank to the other, because that can save a family from probably making some other silly mistake and putting their money to work in a proposition that isn't sustainable. Second part of the point, quickly, is that the economy needs money in businesses. The economy needs money to be spent, and money needs to have what we call velocity, so that the more times you can turn money over through your business or through the economy, the more dynamic the economy is. So typically you hear that, you know, money in the government's hands is lazy as well. It doesn't get used quickly. There's so many rules and processes and committees that it has to get through. If you were in an entrepreneurial business, let's look at a little spaza shop, for instance. Those guys are brilliant at turning the money over. You know, they sell their goods. They know how much to buy. They know what their consumers want. And the money turns over a couple of times a week in or sometimes even daily. So you need velocity of money. You need the money to be moving from A to B to C, and everyone makes a little bit of money. That's great. And that's how America's become a great country. It's not General Motors and Ford and the big banks and big companies, you know, it's the middle economy that really makes things tick. And that's something that South Africa's got to get better at.
And then on the last point, Mike, is, you know, what's your outlook, I guess, for this, in terms of this conversation, what's your outlook for the rest of the year? Economically, the Reserve Bank last week has painted some type of a picture for us. You know, the reduction in tax collections for the country, the budget deficit that's increasing. At the same time, the lower GDP growth that is expected. And how do you think all of those factors are actually going to weigh down on consumers and specifically their ability to save and invest?
It's again, you know, forecasting and you know, you and I in preparing for this, we're talking about the crystal ball. The crystal ball is a dangerous thing to bring out. You know, being too clever and forward guessing with so many balls in the air and so many changes and things happening is probably inappropriate. But let me have give you my best shot. It's South Africa. Let me talk about the place. We are a remarkable people. We've bounced back from some crazy stuff. And I think once again, we'll do the same. The president has taken and made some really significant decisions. We've moved quickly. We've given ourselves a bit of time. We're now slowly moving back into an active economy. Unemployment is desperate. But South Africa has the ability to bounce back from some really dramatic weak points. Just think the last 20, 30 years. We've come through the ringer and we've come out and we seem to be able to bounce back. We are, however, in a very, very weak place at the moment. So it's going to take all hands on deck. It's going to take government. You've seen collaboration between government and big business that hasn't happened for decades. And it's when it counts that that a country's true colors come through. And we are one of those. So I think that the recovery is going to be slow. It's not going to be without pain. I don't think we're done with this thing. I think we've bought ourselves time. Hopefully we actually escape some of the dramatic sort of outcomes in some of our overseas country trading partners, what they've seen. But I really do think that we have a will as a nation, and I think that we will win this one over. I think it also has the potential to change the shape of how we're thinking as a country and as a population, as communities. I've seen some remarkably interesting and positive things happening in amongst the disasters and the strife and the struggle. We've got low interest rates. We've got a weak currency. We've got no one wanting to invest in South Africa. When that turns around and the world starts needing our iron and our gold and our platinum and our coal, this place can turn and turn on quick.
So that's been us with Mike Estimate, who is the chairman of NFB Private Wealth Management. He is just letting us know what the world of saving and investment is looking like, because just talking about the fact that the markets, the economy, things are in a bit of a downturn right now, and that has actually forced made people think that it is time to get out of the market, dip into some of their savings, you know, stuff like that. And Mike is just letting us know that if to whatever extent you can, if you can cut the luxuries, especially the luxuries in your life, that seems to be one of his central messages, cutting the luxuries in your life and also not getting into debt for luxuries would be a very, very good point. Also, just a warning that with such low interest rates, some people might be coming in and offering you some very high returns at a time when there seems to be a disincentive to actually actually be, you know, saving some of the money, particularly in like a savings account or something like that. So just be, you know, just be aware of what's going on. That is the message coming in from Mike. Mike, how can people perhaps get in touch with you or engage with either yourself or NFP?
Madiwe, I'm available on an email address, Mike, with another E after it, Mike at N for Nelly, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, .co.za. NFB is available on several numbers around the country, but I guess our website, which is nfb.co.za, it's www.nfb.co.za, and we'd welcome to try and help or guide your listeners in this journey.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
I think a conversation like this is very good because saving and investment has really been exposed as being a necessity as opposed to being a luxury during the COVID-19 crisis. A lot of people actually found themselves unable to weather the 1 or 2 months without work or, you know, cuts in salaries, which sort of shows the actual state of people's personal finances, and also just the fact that that those that do have investments, you know, the type of panic selling that's been going on in the market. When you see some of these dips in share prices and stuff like that, it is an indication, you know, to some extent that people are selling. So I think going forward, some type of a long-term mentality needs to be developed in South Africa, around the world, because this is not something that just affects consumers or, you know, people in South Africa, you know, the investment market in South Africa. No, this is something that needs to, you know, be pervasive, you know, all over. Because at the end of the day, yes, like what Mike was saying, and I like the fact that he was talking about the fact that people, you know, tend to focus on the now. People should be focusing, you know, sort of more long term. And unfortunately, in life, they're going to be, you know, those ups and downs. When you look at anything, there are always ups and downs. It's never an up and up. If you are in school, for example, just because you are going through a year long course and you fail, you know, the first two assignments in a list of, let's say, 7 or 8 assignments does not necessarily mean that you're going to fail the entire course, because the whole course is an aggregate of your efforts over a period of time, in the same way that someone's investments are an aggregate of the performance of the market over time. Not necessarily your performance during a very brief sort of 3 month period. So I think a more long term approach to investing needs to be developed. And at the same time, this is a good time, if any, you know, for people to be learning about the markets, to be learning about the different savings and investment options that are out there. One of the things I really appreciated about what Mike said is, you know, that point about going to the bank and just trying to figure out what are, you know, your options that are out there. What are the options for you to actually make a little bit more money, you know, just the one more percentage point in terms of, you know, some type of returns, because we do know that banks are lending, you know, money out to the world. So if there's a way that you as an individual saver and individual account holder can take advantage of those sort of things, then perhaps that's something to look into. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. You can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.